Now, in the midst of this time of celebration at Christmas, I believe there's a word that the Lord would have me to share with you. And it's a very practical word. It's a word that is very applicable where we live. And I'm titling it, How to Enjoy God's Joy and Peace. How to Enjoy God's Joy and Peace. This joy and peace of the Lord must be your reality. It must be your experience. And it is to be this way irregardless of circumstances, irregardless of environment or anything else. This peace and this joy is of the Lord, and it is independent of anything else. And I'm trusting that we will see that today. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we will just read a few verses, verse 8 to 14, and then we're going to get right into it. Amen? Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now I want to focus on verse 10, 11, and 14. And the whole thing is for us to see how to enjoy God's joy and peace. Verse 10. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For behold, I give you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, that will be available to every human being. Do not be afraid." Now, this good tiding that they're referring to is what we call the gospel. It is the good news that God offered up his son to be sacrificed for us. When we dissect and we see what exactly Jesus did in his sacrifice, we will see that we are delivered and set free from all fear. We are to be totally free from fear because of the good news. And this good news, it says, "I bring you good news of great joy." There is great joy that comes with this good news. And it is available to everyone. It is available to everyone. This good news, the gospel, the sacrifice, this gospel has great joy for all men. Now, notice, it goes on to say, to all people, because there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This joy that we're talking about here, the source of it is not people. The source of it is not your circumstance. The source of it is not the environment. The source of it is the source of it is the good news. It comes from the good news. It comes from the sacrifice. And that is because the good news and the sacrifice is about the fact that Jesus is here and he's our Savior. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me, it's getting a little bit warm here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The good news is Jesus going to the cross. The good news is the gospel. The good news is Christ in you. Galatians chapter 1 verse 15 and 16 says, Paul says, "When God called me from my mother's womb, it was to reveal his son in me." and that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Colossians 1:27 says, speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. So because of this good news of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the sacrifice of Christ, there is great joy. To who? To all people. To all people, to every human being. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh. To all people. In Titus chapter 2 verse 11, it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, to every human being. It's available to all men. God is not a respecter of persons. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the scripture says. God wants every single person to come to himself, to come into relationship and intimacy with him. Now, it doesn't say that every person will come, but it is the will and the desire of God for every person to be saved. He's not a respecter of persons. So this salvation, this great joy, is available to all men. But you see, it only comes upon those that would believe. It is available to all men, but the ones that get a hold of it are those that believe. So yes, the grace of God that has appeared unto all men, and it brings salvation. Nevertheless, Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, we are saved by grace through faith. It is only when you mix the grace that brings salvation with faith that you benefit from it. And so it is with this joy. Unless you mix faith, unless you receive Jesus, then it's not available to you. Romans 1 verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is available to everyone, but it only comes upon those that believe. Romans 10 verse 12 to 13. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon his name. But you've got to call on his name. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the thing is this. All the things of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, all these wonderful gifts that God has, you and I couldn't pay for it. There is nothing that we can do to earn it. There is no money that can buy it. They are all gifts, and you receive them by faith. Righteousness is a gift. Salvation is a gift. The joy of the Lord is a gift. The peace of God is a gift. All of the fruits of the Spirit, they are gifts, and they are available to every man. Why could I say it's available to every man? Romans 8 verse 2 says, Romans 8 verse 32 says, for that he who spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give you all things? So when God gave Jesus, everything came with him. But you got to receive Jesus. Without receiving Jesus, all these things that come with him, you don't get. If you don't receive Jesus, then all these other blessings, all these other free gifts, you aren't able to have, because they come with Jesus. Romans chapter 3. And I'm just making one point right now, which is all that God has, and specifically the joy and the peace, is available to you. It is available to every human being, but it only comes on those that believe. Romans chapter 3 verse 21 says, and now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. It's to all, but it comes upon all that believe. For there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is qualified in themselves for the free gift of righteousness or any of the free gifts of God. So the only way you can get it is by faith. And the only way you can have it is by believing. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes yours. Verse 24 goes on to say, being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, there's the acronym, GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. And it's very valid because it is the riches of God. It is the free gifts of God, but it came at Christ's expense because Jesus paid the price. But for us, it's free. But you must receive it. You've got to believe. You only have what you receive. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. But there is such a confidence that you can have. I like to call it the gift of expectation. The gift of expectation, where God says, everyone that asks, receive. So you can expect, if you ask, receive. The gift of expectation, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you'll receive it, and you shall have it. That's a gift. It's a gift that you can expect the goodness of God and the free gifts of God by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I encourage you, if you have not made Jesus the Savior and the Lord of your life, this is as good a time as any. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now it goes on to say, let me go back here to Luke chapter 2. So Luke chapter 2 verse 11 goes on to say, for there is born to you this day. Why is this great joy available? Because of the good news. Because there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Because the Savior is here. The Savior is here. No one can save himself. No one can make himself righteous. All of our righteousness, all of our good works, all of our self-effort and or whatever we can come up with to appease God, all of it is like filthy rags in the presence of God. It is not acceptable. But what did God do? God made Jesus to be a sin for us. And when we receive him, God make us the righteousness of God. God give us that free gift of righteousness. When a person receives Jesus, what happens? God literally imputes righteousness to their spirit. He imputes his very own nature, which is what righteousness is. Hallelujah. And in that nature, in that righteousness, and in that nature of God that is infused into the human spirit, that includes the joy of the Lord. That includes the peace of God. That includes all the aspects of God's nature. Hallelujah. What am I saying? This is how it works. In other words, then, you can't have God's nature. You can't have anything that is in God. His love, his righteousness, his joy, his peace, his fruits of the Spirit. You can't have them without having Jesus. Jesus is the way. The scripture says in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, there is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved, healed, delivered, and set free. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. It says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 that there is only one mediator between God and man. And that is the man Christ Jesus. Why? He is the one that died on the cross. He is the one that paid the price. He is the one that took the penalty for our sins so that we can be redeemed, so that we can come to God. So to reject Jesus is to reject the free gift of salvation and the opportunity to come into this intimacy with God and receive all the other gifts that comes with Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is really quite simple. Romans 10 verse 9 and 10 says, if you would believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him as Lord out of your mouth, you'll be saved. That's it. You simply say, you know what? I believe this gospel. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he was raised up from the dead. And you simply say, all right, if that is so, I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. And the moment you do that, you get saved. That's how simple it is. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, Paul told Cornelius, not Cornelius the jailer, told him, believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's how simple salvation is. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. It goes on to say in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Think about it. You see, separation, man being separated from God because of his sin, all came because of Adam's disobedience, because of Adam's sin. Adam, the first Adam, because of his sin. Because of his sin, judgment came. Condemnation came. Separation came. The curse came. It all came because of the fall of that first man, Adam. But here is the good news. When Jesus died on the cross, he took all of the sin. He took all of the condemnation. He took all of the shame. He took all of the curse. He took all of the sickness, all of the disease, all of every misery that came on the human race because of Adam's fall. All the judgment and condemnation that came because of the first Adam's fall, Jesus took it upon himself. He bore it in his own body on that cross. The scripture says in Galatians 3:13, "For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Now, this is the reason why Jesus prophesied about his own going to the cross in John chapter 12 and verse 32. Listen to these words. Jesus says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Now, when you look at it closely in its context, what Jesus was actually saying is, if I be lifted up from the earth on the cross, I will draw all of the judgment and the condemnation of every human being upon myself. What am I saying? I'm saying Jesus paid the price in full. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all of that judgment, all of that condemnation on myself. So judgment and condemnation that came because of the first Adam and because of the first Adam's disobedience, but that judgment and condemnation left because of the obedience of the second Adam. All the sickness and the disease and the poverty and the lack and the curse that came because of the disobedience of the first Adam, the obedience of the second Adam, which is Christ, destroyed the works of the devil and put an end to those things ruling over our lives. That is good news. That is what the good news is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. No one goes to hell because of his own sins. People go to hell not because of their sins, but because they did not receive God's remedy for their sins. They didn't receive God's cure. They didn't receive God's provision for them to be forgiven and for them to be made righteous. And that provision is Christ himself. 1 John 2:2 says that Jesus is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask you right now, if you're listening to this broadcast and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm inviting you to do so right now. In fact, not I'm inviting you. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is inviting you. The Spirit of God is drawing you. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Or perhaps you're backslidden. You were serving God, but you fell away from him. Or you're in some kind of sin and you're under this yoke of condemnation. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Repeat this prayer after me. Repeat it from your heart and God will save you. He will wash you. He will cleanse you by the blood of Jesus right now, in this instant, right where you are. Just say this with me. Say, "Jesus, I believe you were raised up from the dead. I believe you died for my sins. And I receive your forgiveness. I confess all of my sins. And I receive your blood washing me and cleansing me. This moment, Jesus, I give you my life and I receive you into my life. Jesus, I believe you've been raised up from the dead and I make you the Lord and the Savior of my life." Now, if you pray that prayer, that's it. That instant you get born again. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So tell somebody, "I accepted Jesus as Savior." Find a church, go to church where they preach Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and where they preach the full gospel. Go to church and share with them what it is that you have, the decision that you made. Get in touch with us so that we can follow up, we can pray with you, we can encourage you, we can share some materials with you. This is your day of salvation. Now, here is the deal. When you receive Jesus, God gives you everything that comes with Jesus. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give you all things? God gives you, it is like there's an entire salvation package that comes when you receive Jesus. An entire salvation package. Oh, what a great salvation. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everything is in that salvation package. Peace and joy and righteousness and sanctification and healing and health and prosperity. All of it is in that package. Peace is included. John chapter 14 verse 27, Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled. I'm giving you my peace. Jesus' peace, the peace of God, is included in that salvation package. The joy of the Lord, the scripture says, is your strength. Joy is included in that salvation package. Goodwill towards men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. What do you mean goodwill towards men? It means that you now have favor with God. God sees you in a favorable manner. You are now accepted with God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. You are highly favored. You have become, it is as if you've become God's favorite. What do you mean? How could I be God's favorite when there's billions of people on this planet? The love of God is so great that God sees you as if you were the only one of all of his creation, so that all of his mind, all of his attention, his eyes are upon you. His eyes are so much upon you, and his ears are so attentive to you that the scripture even says the hairs on your head are numbered. They are numbered, not meaning that God knows how many strands of hair you have, but each strand of hair has a number. Number 1929. Every one of them, that's how unique and how much God favors you. Hallelujah. That is the perfect love of God. Amen. That is why Ephesians 1 verse 6 says, you are accepted in the beloved, highly favored. Philippians 4 verse 1, God says that you are his beloved. He loves you. You are his beloved. You are his longed for. He longed for you. You are his joy. You are his crown. But you got to believe that. You got to believe that. You got to believe that. This stuff works by believing. Joy and peace is yours. But you've got, the moment you get born again, that joy and peace is deposited in your born again spirit. But you've got to believe it. Romans chapter 15 verse 13 says, the God of hope fills you. He fills you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. But this joy and peace, it comes by believing, and it stays by believing. You become established in it by believing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans 14 verse 17 says, the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness. It is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, there's another scripture that says the kingdom of God suffers violence. The devil is trying to shake you. The devil is trying to move you in a manner so that you don't function in the kingdom of God. But let me tell you something, my brother. Let me tell you something, my sister. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness and it's peace and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. If he cannot steal your righteousness, if he cannot steal your joy, and if he cannot steal your peace, then he cannot move you out of the kingdom of God. He cannot shake you where the kingdom of God is concerned. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Anyway, that kingdom is righteousness. It is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. But hear what? Jesus said that kingdom doesn't come with observation. In Luke 17, 21, he says the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God, which is righteousness, which is peace, and which is joy in the Holy Ghost, is in you. So that righteousness, that peace, and that joy, it's on the inside of you. Now, what is this righteousness? This righteousness, it is the very rightness of God that is imparted into your spirit. The very rightness of God. God is right. Oh, everything about him is right. Well, that rightness is imparted into your born-again spirit. That's the reason why Ephesians 4:24 says, put on a new man, who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the very nature of God. So righteousness is the rightness of God. Righteousness, it is God imparting his very nature into you. His very nature, and that in nature includes the love of God, it includes joy, it includes peace. He imparts his very nature so that your spirit becomes one with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. They are one. You and Christ are one. Jesus is the head. We are the body. The head and the body are one. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. You are one. That's the reality of righteousness. It is about this oneness. Righteousness is oneness with God. Jesus prayed in John 17, 22 and 23, and he says, Father, I in them, and them in me. I in them, and them in me, and they being made perfect in us. This righteousness puts you in right standing with God. In right standing with God, so that you are totally, perfectly accepted in God. In God's sight and in God's presence, Colossians 1:22 says, in his sight you are holy, you are blameless, you are without fault. He sees no fault in you. He sees no blemish in you. Your spirit is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this right standing, what is it? It is you standing in the presence of God as if you have never sinned and never did anything wrong. That being the case, there is no guilt. There is no shame. There is no condemnation. So furthermore, because you have this divine nature and you are a partaker of his divine nature, there is no inferiority. What species exists that could be above you when you have the very nature of God? So there is no inferiority. So here, this right standing, you have no condemnation, no guilt, no shame, no insecurity, no fear, standing in the presence of God as if sin has never been. That's the gift of righteousness that God, that is part of the kingdom of God that is on the inside of you. And as if that is not enough, you are now an heir of God. And you have the legal right to sonship. You have all the legal rights that come from being a child of God, from being a son of God. You are heir of God. You've got rights. You've got privileges. The promises will define what some of those rights are. And 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, all of the promises in Christ are yes and amen. Well, that's where you're living. You're living in Christ. And in him, all the promises to you are yes and amen. The very blood of Christ has qualified you for all of the inheritance. We are qualified by the blood of Christ for all of the inheritance. You are, we are, us. So, again, as if that is not enough, we're talking about righteousness. You have also received joint seating with Christ. Because you see, when you were resurrected with Christ, you were also made to sit together with him in heavenly places, in the place of ascension. And coming out of that place of ascension, sharing Jesus' authority, that authority is delegated to you and is embodied in the name of Jesus. So look at you. Hallelujah. You are righteous. You are in right standing. No condemnation, no guilt, no shame. No insecurity, no inferiority. You have all the rights of sonship. You have the authority of the name of Jesus. And you are one with God. So the kingdom of God in you is righteousness. It is oneness. It is oneness with God. And with that oneness with God, because you're one with God, all that is his is yours. With that oneness comes peace. With that oneness comes the peace of God, comes the joy of the Lord, the joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's talk a little bit about that peace some more. That peace is a peace, first of all, it's peace with God. What does that mean? It means there's no conflict between you and God. There are no issues between you and God. It means then that you and God is like you're tight. You're okay. Everything is cool. You have been acquitted of all charges that were against you. And you are now perfectly accepted. Your very conscience has been purged by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that your conscience is alive and right with God. You are free from any of your, there's no offense between you and God. That peace with God. But that peace is also the knowledge that everything has been reconciled. Colossians 1:20 says that Jesus has purchased peace through the blood of his cross, having reconciled all things visible and invisible, things on earth and things in heaven, having reconciled all things unto himself. What does that mean? It means when Jesus paid that price, the chastisement of our peace, the price that was paid was to not only give us peace with God, but it was also to put everything that was messed up because of Adam to reconcile it to God's original intent. So in other words, to put everything in the realm of the spirit as it would have been if there was no fall. So when you and I recognize that this peace is everything reconciled, even when I'm in a situation and it looks bad, I can be confident. I could be fearless. I could be bold. Why? Because I know that this very situation that is against me, I've got peace. And I can put on what the scripture calls in Ephesians 6 verse 15, the gospel shoes of the readiness of peace. In other words, I have on a gospel shoes and I am ready. I am well prepared. I know that this situation, no matter what it looks like, I can walk into this situation knowing that this situation has been reconciled already. Hallelujah. So I have a mindset where all things are working together for good. I've got a mindset, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 15, that even those things that seem to be against me are actually working in me. And it's going to cause thanksgiving to God. I have a mindset that no matter what it looks like, I'm looking at the things that are not seen, and this test, this trial, this situation, this conflict will work a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while I keep looking at what is done and what is finished. That's what 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17 and 18 is saying. But where is that coming from? It's coming from the reality and the knowledge of the truth that everything has been reconciled to God's original intent. Glory to God. That's the peace of God. And that same God of peace shall bruise the enemy underneath your feet shortly. Romans 16 verse 20. But you got to believe this. You've got to believe this. Say, I believe this. Romans 15, verse 13, again, just this, it says, the God of all hope fills you with what? All joy and peace in believing. In believing. In believing that you might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This peace is not coming from appearances. This peace is not coming from the outside. It's not coming from what it looks like. This peace is coming out of this oneness that you have with God. This peace is coming as a result that you and God are hooked up. You've got his nature. Isaiah 32 verse 17 puts it this way. It says the effect of righteousness is peace. The effect of that oneness that you have with God is what produces peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 16 verse 33, he says, in me, you're going to have peace. In the world, what are you going to have? Tests, trials, situations, issues. But in me, you're going to have peace. Well, I think it's a good idea to just abide in him, because in him there is peace. And you can live in the peace of God while there is storms raging around about you. Hallelujah. In him, you have peace. In the world, tribulation. So what must you do? Abide in Christ. Don't abide in the world. Don't abide in the flesh. There is no good thing that dwelleth in the flesh. Stay in the spirit. Stay in the spirit. Stay in the spirit. The scripture says in Romans 8 verse 1, now there is now no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Once you are staying in the spirit, there is no condemnation. There cannot be. See yourself after the spirit. Know yourself after the spirit. Now I'm making a slight switch and I'm focusing on your spirit. I'm focusing and walking in the spirit. I'm focusing and walking after the spirit. The word is spirit. The word is life. Galatians 5:25 says, if you live in the spirit, because that is where you live. You might as well walk after the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 9 says, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. Why? Because Christ dwells in you. But you got to walk in the Spirit. You can't walk after the flesh. The flesh don't owe you anything. There is no victory coming from the flesh. But it comes from the Spirit. The joy and the peace, and it's coming from the Spirit. So walk in the Spirit. You've got the peace of God. The very moment you got born again, but you've got to abide in Christ. You've got to walk in the Spirit. You've got to let that peace of God rule your heart and mind. Colossians 3:16 says, let the peace of God rule your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let it rule. What do you mean let it rule? It means allow it. Don't hinder it. Don't stop it from flowing. Don't turn off the tap. This peace is here. It's in your spirit. But you got to allow it to flow. You got to allow it. Allow it to rule. Amen? Hallelujah. And how do you do that? Stay in the Spirit. Stay in peace. Stay in Christ. The things of God are all yours. But you receive them by faith. You've got to walk in faith. You walk in Jesus by faith. You walk in the Spirit by faith. I keep saying this week after week, and I'm going to say it again. Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, the gospel, the word, the promise, it was preached to them. They heard it, but it didn't profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't mix it with believing it. They didn't mix it with speaking it. They didn't mix it with acting like if it's so, because faith is believing right, speaking right, and acting accordingly. Hallelujah. You know, one man, I heard one man give this definition of faith, and I kind of like it. What is faith? Very simply, it's acting like God's word is true. Acting like if God's word is true. Thinking like if God's word is true. Believing that way, speaking that way, acting like the word of God is true. Now here, back to Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness. It is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. It is joy in the Holy Ghost. Where is that joy coming from? It's coming from believing. Back to the same verse, Romans 15, 13. The God of all hope fills you with all what? Joy, that's right. With all joy and peace in believing. This is what happens. Once you believe, God automatically fills you. Automatically, he fills you with all joy and peace in believing. You already believe. You believe in Jesus, you got it in your spirit. And if you keep on believing, it will keep on flowing. Hallelujah. It's not that you have to increase. You just got to let it flow. Because you got the fullness of joy. You got a fullness of peace. It's the peace of God. It is the joy of the Lord. There is no more joy than you already have in your spirit. You just got to keep it flowing, and you got to be established in it. Amen? Now, let me share this verse of scripture with you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. Say, I believe? You got to believe. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. So that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, that it may be found to the praise, the honor, and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean when Jesus returned necessarily. It means as Christ in you is revealed. Whom, having not seen, you love. You have never seen Jesus, but you love him. You don't know him after the flesh. But you know him after the Spirit. And you need to know yourself after the Spirit. Having not seen, you love. And though now you do not see him, yet believing. You believing in a Jesus that you've never seen. And you rejoice. Rejoice unspeakable, full of glory. Why? Because you believe. Where is this joy unspeakable, full of glory coming from? It's coming because you believe. You believe. You believe in him whom you have not seen. And then it goes on and say in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So that your faith moves to the point, to its end point, where your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, they become anchored. Oh, it is such a powerful thing when that joy in your spirit and that peace in your spirit begins to overflow your mind and take over your emotions. When that joy gets into the realm of your emotions, it will stabilize you. It will anchor you so that no matter what else is going on, you are not moved. That joy of the Lord is your strength. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But it comes from what? Believing. Even though we don't see, yet we believe. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now let's consider Jesus. He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 12, reading from verse 1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, I don't know what situation you're going through right now. Right now it's a day after Christmas. You may have had a lot of disappointments. I don't know. You might be feeling somewhat discouraged. I don't know. But then you see, quite often there are places discouragement and disappointment comes from. When you take your eyes off Jesus and you begin to look at the circumstances and you begin to go by what it appears like, and you're listening to negative communications, those things can produce unbelief and discouragement in your heart and in your life. The scripture says hope deferred will make your heart sick. Maybe you were hoping some wonderful thing was going to happen in the natural, and it's the day after Christmas and it hasn't happened. So your heart kind of sinks. But then here's the thing. We need to shut down those doorways through which the discouragement comes. Let's listen to this passage. Let's look at Jesus. We also, since we are surrounded about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And that sin which so easily will ensnare us. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we run this race? Looking on to Jesus. Now, as you look on to Jesus, you got to look away from the appearances. Looking on to Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter, the upholder of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Here Jesus was going to the cross. I mean, he was being beaten. He was being whipped. He was being spat upon. His beard was being pulled out. He was being loaded with shame. But you know, in spite of all of that, he looked past all of that and he saw beyond the cross. And what he saw there was a joy beyond the cross. And that joy that came from beyond the cross gave him strength to endure the cross. It's the same with you. You've got to see beyond whatever you're dealing with. You've got to see beyond your cross, beyond the shame, beyond the ridicule, beyond the persecution. You've got to see beyond that. That's how this stuff works. So look unto Jesus. He's your example. He will lift you up. He will strengthen you. He will cause those weak hands to receive strength. But you got to look unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, there's a verse of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow. He saw a glory that was going to follow this suffering. So that he, as far as he was concerned, this suffering was not worthy to be compared with the glory which was beyond the cross. It was not worthy to be compared with the joy that is beyond the cross. Well, the scripture says concerning you in Romans 8 verse 18 that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that is beyond this situation that you're in. But how does this work? You got to look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen are eternal. Amen? So let me finish this here though. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Now you know what the word despising the shame? The Amplified said ignoring the shame. All that Jesus was going through, he was ignoring it. He was thinking of it. He was not magnifying the test, the trial and the situation and the hardship. He was not magnifying it. You've got to do the same. You might be going through what is so tumultuous, but don't magnify it. Despise it. Think of it as a light thing in comparison with the glory, in comparison with the joy that was beyond your situation. And by the way, the joy that Jesus saw beyond the cross was you. You are the joy of the Lord. It was you that he saw. And because he saw, this is what's going to come out of it. I'm going to please the Father, and I am going to have you as my brethren. I'm going to have you as my treasure. And it's because of you he endured it. Well, that's the same thing. We have got to have that same mindset for the joy. Hallelujah. And he is now sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And it says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. If you don't consider him, but instead you consider the environment, you listen to all the negative statements, you let the hope deferred make your heart sad, and you operate in the horizontal, then what happened? You become discouraged and you faint. And when you faint, you can't reap. Amen? Now let me speed up. I got to finish this here shortly. Glory to God. So, Jesus is our example. He saw the end in the beginning. He had the word, and he knew how this was going to turn out. You've got to have the word, and you need to know how this is going to turn out. How is it going to turn out? According as it is written. You've got to have the word. You've got to say what the word say. You have got to meditate on the word, because the word, it is the word that is the vehicle that brings the joy, that brings the peace. Remember back in John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, tribulation. But I've spoken and I've shared these things so that in me you might have peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you must do and say the word. The joy is this seeing, it's seeing the end in the beginning. He saw beyond the cross, and there was the joy. Joy is having an experience, a confidence of the God outcome. Here's a situation, there's a God outcome. When you can see that outcome and it becomes so real, even though you're not there, you can almost feel it. You can almost taste it. You can almost experience it. And that is how the joy bubbles up. It's not based on circumstances. It's based on the Spirit of God and the life of Christ and the nature of God that is inside of you. You know the word that is already settled in heaven. The word is forever settled in heaven. If you know the word, then you can have joy. Jesus knew how this was going to turn out. He knew he had a promise. My soul was not going to be left in hell. He knew that. Just like Jonah got out of the belly of the whale, he knew he was getting out of hell. Do you know that you're getting out of hell? Do you know that how your situation is going to turn out? Do you know what the promises of God say? Do you know that the promises of God is God's desire for what you want to see fulfilled? Do you know that? You got to know the word. He knew the word of God. You got to know the word of God. You got to know what God's word says. And not only that, but you got to know that God and his word are one. Because God is behind his word. You don't separate the word. I mean, when you read the word and you get a revelation of the word, it's a revelation of how God is. Jesus says, search the scriptures, because in them you think you have life. But those scriptures are designed to bring you to me. Amen? So there is a wonderful promise, but God is in that promise. He's behind that promise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God forevermore. Now in James chapter 1, just 1, it says, test and trials is going to happen, but you better count it joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse, various tests and trials and situations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith is going to work patience. When you know that this situation, no matter what it looks like, if I just abound in thanksgiving and I abound in joy and in rejoicing and I stay with it, there is going to be a spirit of perseverance and resilience and patience and steadfastness that is going to be developed within your spirit, that you're going to come to such a place of maturity that no matter what you face, you're going to know how to come out victorious, because you will know and experience that through faith and patience, you obtain the promise. Through faith and staying in faith, you obtain the promise. So let patience have a perfect work, that you might be entire walk wanting nothing. But for patience to have a perfect work, patience got to be undergirded by joy, or else patience will also collapse. So count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I'm trying to encourage you that this is not based on your circumstances. It is in spite of your circumstances. It is not based on appearances. Hallelujah. So the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Don't be anxious for anything. Anxiety only means you've got confidence in the circumstances. Anxiety is nothing more than fear wrapped up in a package called worry. But it is still unbelief. And it separates you from God. So rather than have confidence in the problem, look to Jesus and have confidence in him. And that is what Philippians 4:6 talks about. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. What it is saying, don't be engaged with the problem and get all wrapped up with worry. Lay that aside. Stay hooked up with God. Stay in prayer. Stay in communion fellowship with him. And as you do, the peace of God will be right there to guard your heart and mind. But if you allow yourself to get into anxiety, then you're disconnecting from God and you're disconnecting from the peace that is designed to guard your heart and mind. Amen? I trust you receive that. I believe you do. So both joy and peace are due to your believing right. Are due to your believing. And your believing is connected to the word of God. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, it talks about the Lord is my salvation. I trust in him. And because I trust in him, with joy will I draw from the wells of salvation. So there is an issue of trusting God. But how can you trust a God if you don't know him? How can you trust God if you don't know what he has said? How can you trust God when you don't know his word and you don't know that him and his word are one? So that is why I say the word is your connection to joy, because your word is your connection to the God that is who he said he is. The God that is faithful, the God that is merciful, the God that cannot lie, the God that watches over his word to perform it. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, just as we stare, as we come in for this landing strip, I want to leave a few things with you. I'm provoking you to not only get born again if you're not, but if you are born again, get a hold. Know that you have this joy and peace and develop in this joy and peace. Become established in this joy and peace. Know how to function in this joy and peace. It is a power of God. So I'm trying to provoke you. This joy is a harvesting force and power that God has placed in your spirit. Isaiah 9 verse 3 says, you have multiplied the nation and you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest. When people are harvesting, man, there's a joy. The harvest is here. We've waited all these months. Now here it is. There's a joy in harvest. So there's joy is a harvesting power, so to speak. You've sowed seed and you haven't seen the return as yet. Begin to rejoice. Thank you, Lord. My harvest is coming in. There is power and strength in joy so that you don't faint in the midst of the harvest. The scripture says in Galatians 6:9 that the devil wants you to be weary. But it says you reap if you faint not. You reap if you faint not. You reap if you faint out. That's why you got to keep looking at Jesus. If you look at the circumstances, you become weary, you become discouraged, you faint, you can't reap. You can't afford to faint. You can't afford to not reap. You need your harvest. We need your harvest. Others need your harvest. Others need to taste and see that the Lord is good because of what God is accomplishing and producing in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, I'm just reminded several years ago, talk about the power of joy and the harvesting aspect of joy. I remember several years ago, I was in a meeting. Oops. Hello, praise the Lord. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Are we good? Just a little wardrobe malfunction. But anyway, we're back on track. I remember one time, years ago, I was in a particular church, and there was this skit they were doing, and the pastor and I, we were there at the back and they were having this play going on and then they began to give us directions what to do with the lights. And neither him nor me, we didn't have a clue what to do. And for some, and we just, I looked at him, he looked at me, we don't know what to do. And we don't know whether to turn the light off, this, that, or what. And we just started laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. Couldn't help laughing. It was like a supernatural divine laugh. Now, what had happened is at that particular time, I had some severe, very, very burning pain of some sort. And as I was laughing, when I finished laughing, the pain disappeared. And I believe You know, they say a merry heart is as good as medicine. Now, that was supernatural, but it was still supernatural to teach me a lesson. What joy can do. Joy is a harvesting instrument that can cause you to harvest whatever it is you need from God. Let me close by turning to Psalms 1. Matter of fact, I'm just going to quote it. Psalms 126. Yes, Psalms 126, verse 1 to 5. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 126, verse 1 to 5. Say joy.
Joy.
Now when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, for we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall weep in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping and bearing seed for sowing shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When you look at that, it is telling you the same thing. Joy is a harvesting force. You reap with joy. You may sow in tears, but you reap in joy. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says that this book, this word shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper whereunto it is sent. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. It is the will of God that you walk in joy. It is the will of God that you walk and experience his peace, independent of circumstances, independent of what else is going on. The scripture says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, now may the Lord of peace, the one who has reconciled everything to his own original intent, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Amplified says, now may the Lord of peace himself grant you his peace, the peace of his kingdom, at all times and in all ways, under all circumstances and conditions, whatever comes, the Lord be with you all. So there it is. It is God's will that you have peace and that you have joy always, at all times, in all circumstances, by all means. This is the will of God concerning you. Even your salvation, wholeness, peace, joy. Father, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. I pray for those that receive Jesus for the first time today, Lord God, that you would make yourself so real to them. And I pray for every one of us that we would become established in the love of God, established in the peace of God, established in the joy of the Lord, for it is our strength. And that peace is to guard our hearts and minds so that no matter what might be happening around about us, we can abide in a peace that passes all understanding in the name of Jesus. And we could remain hooked up with you. Thank you, Father. We have a covenant of peace. Thank you. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.